The church say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And let's give God a hand clap this morning. Amen. 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 Great job by Sister Karen. It's just wonderful when our worship, our gospel songs, everything is all surrounded in Jesus.
Amen.
Everything is speaking about him. Amen. You know, Jesus didn't think it was robbery to be looked at as equal with God. Now, some people who are in opposition of God don't like a statement like that. The Pharisees and the Sadducees certainly didn't like it, making yourself equal with God. But that's what God has commanded us to do. It's to worship his son. Amen.
Amen.
It's to make him the most important being in our lives, in our homes. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is the reason, isn't he?
Yes.
He's our all in all. And if it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't be here today. Amen.
Amen.
I love Jesus. And I know you all do too. That's why you gave your lives to him. That's so important. Not just for eternal life and to end up with God one day, but to also have a normal life in a world of unnormal functionings and going on, you know. We need to have some type of normalcy today, not just about eternal life, but that's what helps us to get through each day is we look ahead, amen.
Right, yeah.
We look ahead for what's coming. It's like the old tube televisions when they, you know, about to lose service. Boy, I used to hate that, interrupting my programs. You know, the devil is a lie. God bless you. Good morning.
Good morning.
What an awesome time we've been having in God so far in worship and honoring him and our Lord and Savior and King. And we're going to continue to do so. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's a joy to celebrate God. Amen. It's a daily celebration. It's not on the calendar, amen. It's in your heart, amen. Celebration of God is a daily event. It's a daily function. Where will we be? Because if you think about it, where will you be without God? I perish the thought, amen. Don't even let your mind go there. Make Jesus a habit, amen. Make him routine in your life, amen. There's nothing wrong with having a routine of God. There's nothing wrong with having a habit of Christ. Those are good habits. Those are good routines. It kind of speaks to the message today about keeping Jesus, amen. First, I want to give honor to God who is the head of my life. And to my pastor, our pastor, Pastor Jerry and his wife, Bonnie. To my lovely wife, Mary Catherine Carter. Just a wonderful support, wonderful partner in God. And I appreciate her. And to the household of faith, and to our visitors as well. For those of you all who don't know, my co-worker, my awesome brother in God, came with his lovely family today. If we could just give a hand clap to my brother Eddie. Eddie and his wife. Thank you. You want to give the names, Eddie, of your family?
Eddie and Yvette, Olivia, Vivian, and Joaquin.
Praise God. Thank you so much. Glad to have you. Hope to see you come back, man. I know sometimes some of the titles of our messages, like some of us servants, some of our titles, you know, make people go, I wonder what that's about. You know, last time I was before you, last time God used me, it was marriage by default. And boy, that really set some people on fire, okay? But the word of God should be sometimes, you know, challenging. The word of God should be eye-opening. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's not man's normal everyday thoughts, amen? It's thoughts from God, amen? God made us in his own image, but he didn't say he was going to give us all his wisdom, amen? He just made us kind of, we kind of look like God. But he couldn't give us all that. That's not what he chose to do. He wanted to use our hearts to establish a relationship with him. We don't need all the things that God got. We just need what he think we should have. Amen. Some things that are for God are for God. We should be separated. Amen. We should be. That's the problem we had back in the old days, the old times, the old ancient days. People just wanted to be either like God, big as God, better than God. One guy got kicked out of heaven for thinking that way, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So we just want to honor God. We're subjects of the king. We don't have any problem worshiping God, amen? Because all knees will bow one day. And all tongues will confess. But today, our hearts are on its knees before God, amen? I love saying that. I love to honor God. So let's open up in prayer and let Jesus navigate us through his word. Amen. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus this morning, humbly before the throne of God. We give God worship this morning. We give God praise. We honor God in our homes. We honor God in our church. We love our Father God. There's no God like the God of our fathers. He is the Holy One of Israel. He's the majestic God. Hallelujah. He's the great I am. The great I am is God. So, Lord, we just thank you for what yet another great day that God has made. And, Lord, we do choose to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we have another opportunity, Lord God, to come and worship you and fellowship, Lord God, together and make a joyful noise to God. We thank you, Lord God, that we have another opportunity to remove the stench out of your nostrils and send up a sweet aroma. We love you today, God. So we just ask in Jesus' name that you would impress upon our hearts your word, understanding of your word. Your word is so sophisticated, Lord. But when we ask God for understanding, he grants it to us. So, God, we just praise you. We honor you. We thank you for this day. Have your way today, Lord God, and let our hearts be changed when we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is Keep It Jesus. I want to preface this web by saying one of our, you know, cool little sayings we always have, some people still use it today. I'm an old fogey. For those of you all that don't know, I'm an old guy, young at heart. But we used to love to say, keep it real. Just keep it real. Some of us are very familiar with that. Maybe some of us aren't. But it did become universal. It was a new universal little saying, little phrase. Keep it real. But God spoke to my heart one day and said, tell the people, instead of saying keeping it real, tell them to keep it Jesus. So we're going to get into the documentation that supports the title of this message, amen. I give God the glory and the praise and our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, at this day and time for how current God's word is, which was written a couple of thousand years ago, if not several thousand years ago. God's word was written and birthed in ancient times, and yet its principles are pertinent to some of our contemporary functionings of today. God knew that mankind would evolve and progress to various cultural and linguistic changes. Catchy wordings and slang oftentimes is used to help someone to get something across to someone of a particular background or culture. We've all been in that kind of like that, you know, that situation where sometimes you're around certain cultures that you weren't born in or didn't grow up in or whatever, and they got a little catchy little wordings. Just the other day, Friday, we had our job luncheon. And by the way,
I think I'm going to stay at this job because they fed us steak.
Amen.
So I think I'm going to stay there a couple more years. Amen. I got two more steaks coming. Amen. But we were at the table, and it's not unusual for me to be in an environment where it's like I'm kind of like the only one. Okay, I might be the only one, African American or whatever. And all my buddies, all my coworkers are Hispanic, and they were talking to these kinds of things, and I'm sure they were saying nothing to offend me or anything, but I want people to have a good time. And so they were talking and those kinds of things, and they started speaking Spanish, and you know, where I come from, if you're in a group of guys talking in Spanish, you want to ask them, "Hey, man, are y'all talking about me?" let's get this straight right now. Let's keep it Jesus. But no, I work with some great guys, a lot of Christian brothers, and they are from, they have Hispanic, you know, they of the Hispanic descent, and we get along just well. We have a great time. We talk things of God on occasion when we can, when we're not so busy, and it's just a great thing. But that's just the situation I'm talking about. You know, like, you could be in a group on your job or something, or you could be the oldest guy in a group of young guys, you know. And they'll talk, well, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Brother Larry. You know, sometimes you could be in a group where you kind of stand out, maybe, or you're different. And there's nothing wrong with that. That could be by design. God could just want you in that type of environment, amen? And God's going to talk to us a little bit about that. And there are times when God would communicate to people of said background, be people of different cultures and backgrounds, of said backgrounds or culture, in a way that they would understand his truths and that are found in his, the truths that are found in his word. It was this thought process that Jesus used to choose his disciples. He chose some fishermen, right? Tax collector, a physician, and just some common, everyday kind of people to reach people from similar livelihoods. Jesus himself was a carpenter, amen? Remember? Look at what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verses 19 through, we're going to go through verses 19 through 23. And it's coming out of the New King James Version. "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. 20, and to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. 21, to those who are without law, as without law." Not being without law toward God, but law toward Christ. "That I might win those who are without law. 22, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Are we getting this? Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Thank you, Sister Vivian. So Paul discloses the objective here. Becoming all things to all men. And that's to get people saved, amen, and advance the kingdom of God. And I would surmise that this is the most effective way of bringing attention to God in large numbers, amen. When you can somehow not be out of character, but when you can somehow associate with people of different background and be able to kind of like be sensitive to what they may be talking about, be sensitive of whatever level that they may be on, and still be able to sneak some Jesus in the conversation, you're advancing the kingdom of God, amen. Amen. You're bringing attention to God, amen. What's our number one purpose in life? It's to please God. And how do you do that? By bringing attention to God, amen. God is so strategic in how he creates a dialogue with us, and that's through people who we might be able to relate to. Let me say that again. God is so strategic in how he creates a dialogue with us, and that's through people who we might be able to relate to. So when God wants to get to you and you ain't been listening because it sounds like Chinese to you, it sounds like Arabic to you, well, he sends somebody, and oh, excuse me, and it's nothing wrong with Chinese and Arabic people. I love them. But God will use a certain sect of people, an individual, who he knows that you can relate to reach you. Amen. So God is the one who used Paul, but it was really Jesus was the one who became all men for all kinds of men, who became all types of people for all types of people. That makes sense? He just used his vessel, Paul, but it was Christ that was doing it. We understand that, right? He became all. You know, he says that Christ is our all and all, and he truly is our all and all. We love our Lord and Savior. Jesus picked men who the world may perceive as, you know, from different classes. God has a way of covering all bases. Jesus may require of us to be stretched out a little bit or go to places we would have otherwise not ventured to. I love how the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:22. We put that back up there, Vivian. 9:22. To the weak, I became as weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. If we ever wanted to know, thank you, Vivian. If we ever wanted to know what the meaning of being sold out for God means, well, this is it. By any means necessary. Amen. You know, how do they win wars? By any means necessary, amen. You know, that's what it takes to win souls. By any means necessary. You can't go the normal route, maybe, or you can't go the route that you might perceive as, you know, coddling someone going all the way down or whatever, going totally out of character and getting away from what the premise here is. The premise is to save souls. The premise is to relate to you and to communicate to you, or God communicate to this person in a way that they understand, in a way that might be appealing. We want Jesus to be appealing. Amen. We want Jesus to look good. Amen. We want Jesus to be perceived as beautiful. And that's not far-fetched. That's not a stretch of the truth. It is the truth. Christ is beautiful. Amen. In every sense of the word. By any means necessary. I'm going to serve Jesus and allow him. This is what we can say. This could be our little vision statement. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve Jesus and allow him to use me to achieve the goals of the gospel. Let me repeat that. This could be our little mission statement. Personal. Church, the Christian community, everybody can embrace this statement, which is not a very profound statement, but it's just the truth. I'm going to serve Jesus and allow him to use me to achieve the goals of the gospel. Amen. And the word weak in this text is not only speaking of the physically weak, but the spiritual. People who are weak in the flesh. People who don't know if God has a purpose for their lives. People who are in bondage. People who didn't recognize the life-changing power that was performed in the lives of people that they know. We see people change in life that we know. And we go, wow, that person's changed. But we don't recognize that only Jesus, Allah, can change a person's life. Do you hear me? Only Christ can change a heart. Amen. You can stop drinking and smoking all day long, but you're going to start back if Jesus didn't free you. Amen. I'm not going to give my testimony. Forget it. But that's everybody. But God bless you if you were able to change yourself. What an awesome person you are. But that's not the only thing probably that you need to change. If you're able to change yourself, you could have saved yourself. Amen. You can't save yourself. Amen. That belongs to one person. Amen. That belongs to one guy. Amen. Hallelujah. Now that,
people didn't recognize the life-changing power that was performed in the lives of people that they knew. Well, people who
further describing the word weak here. People who refuse to believe that the words in a certain book are living. You know, that's a person with a weak spirit. You don't believe what's in here is actually alive. This is the living, that's what they call it, right? This is the living word of God. This word has life. Amen. It actually came down from heaven and was walking with us. Amen. The word of God. Hey, it had feet and legs. Amen.
But what most importantly he had was a heart. Amen. The word of God walked around us and among us and taught us. He healed us. Why? Because of his heart. He took the job. Amen.
Then in verse 23, he gives God the credit. That's what I like about Paul in verse 23. Can we put verse 23 up one more time, Vivian? Thank you. He gives God the credit right here. Now, this I do for the gospel's sake. So I become all men. Look, I might have to get dirty. I might have to go out on the street. I might have to go under the bridges. I might have to go in the highways and byways. I might have to go in a neighborhood that you wouldn't see me in normally. I may have to go over a coworker house who I don't really want to be with. But I have to do this for the gospel's sake. Amen. I do everything. And I like I said in the NLT, can we put up the verse 23 in the NLT as well, Sister Vivian? I do everything to spread the good news and share in his blessings. Amen. Amen. I'm going to do what I have to do. Do you know that's godly? That's a godly principle. God does what he has to do. Amen. To achieve his goals for his children. So that we can be, you know, we can receive some blessings. I know it's a tough road. Thank God for the tough road. I know it's tough trials. Thank God for the trials. I know it's tough sledding. Thank God for the tough sledding. But you know what? I know what also, too, at the end of that? Thank God for the deliverance from it all. This is Paul actually omitting himself from getting caught up in self-affirmation. That's the Holy Spirit of God working in him big time, because when Jesus asks us to go and minister to people of a certain sect or culture that we are always willing to do, we're always willing to work for God, you could easily proclaim that it was you that did it. Only the Holy Ghost of God can minister through us in unfamiliar territories. Do you get that? Only God can minister through you in unfamiliar territories. Ask Jonah. Amen. Ask Elijah. Ask Abraham. How many times have they been put in unfamiliar territory? Ask Joseph. Amen. And Brother Tony could tell us a little bit about that evangelist over in Guatemala. He's in unfamiliar territory. Well, he was. They're probably becoming, I'm sure, more acclimated, and we can thank God for that. Amen. You would be hard-pressed to find people going around people or places out of their element and doing works of their own accord, present company included. There is no doubt in my mind that the Apostle Paul was under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God to be able to communicate the truth of God's word to the diversity of God's people. Now, with that being said, God wanted to minister to me and through me on how he can be in the know. Amen. You know, God can kind of be in the know without changing his concepts and principles and agenda. God wanted me, he wanted to minister to me and through me on how he can become, how he can be in the know in today's culture. God dropped on my spirit some time back a pretty clever concept of his own. He said, tell the people, instead of saying keep it real, tell them to keep it Jesus. You know, this was when somebody wants this, you know, keeping it Jesus. Now we're going to break it down now, right? Keep it Jesus. You know, this is when somebody wants to talk about something and they might want the two of you to be blunt, candid, and truthful about a particular matter. Now, the word candid comes from the French word candide, which is from the Latin candidus, which means bright and white. It may refer to the indication or suggestion of sincere honesty. You know, for example, her candid eyes, or to be marked by honest expression. For example, a candid talk. I can recall not being honest with people or with God. I know I'm probably the only one that's been there. There were times when I thought that being honest or candid would create hostility in a relationship. I can remember at different times in our society and in our own neighborhoods where being honest was looked at as being square. Y'all remember that? Like the honest kid, it seems like, you know, the one who was really raised right. We called him a square, amen. You know, the nerd. Boy, what'd I do to be a nerd again? I like nerds. They take the road less traveled. Yeah, some cool nerds. You sure are, man. That must be Brother Larry. He's a cool nerd. I like that. I admire Brother Larry. Thank you for your candidness. Yes, you are. Or you would be a, you know what? Being honest was looked at as being square. Or you would be a fool. This is how they looked at it. You would be a fool to tell your wife or your parents the truth. When in fact, being honest would have been the best way to get things under control. The fact of the matter is that being honest would have created less hostility. Amen. The hostility came from the dishonesty. I mean, Satan's got us so turned around. Maybe not now. I give God the praise for all, you know, for Jesus giving us the opportunity to get things right in our lives. But at some, you know, there was points and times in our lives when being honest might not have been the best route. And that's not a judgmental statement. That's just the way it is. I mean, that's, you know, you don't want any hostility. You don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. You don't want nobody to be, you know, you don't want to lose a friend. I don't want to make my wife mad. I don't want my husband mad. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to hurt my kids' feelings. But all you're doing is making it worse, amen. You're actually creating a hostile environment, amen. You don't look like a square when you're being honest. You look like a person of integrity. You don't look like a fool. You look secure. When people say keep it real, it could just be words, almost like lies. Keep it real, to me, is like the vain promises to tell the truth. Amen. Keeping it real, in essence, is worldly. There was and still are phrases and vernacular that is used to try and establish the communicator's sincerity and validation of something being told. Here's some examples. This is people, some examples of people when we want you to really believe us, amen. Like, I swear on a stack of Bibles. Or I swear by heaven above. And the one I don't like much, I swear on my mama's grave. That's awful. Why would you bring your dead mother into it? Amen. Well, first of all, you want to solicit some kind of sympathy for your dead mother. That's all right. Then number two, now you forcing me to believe you because you said on your dead mama or your dead mother. I'm being hoodwinked. You know what I'm saying? I swear on my mama's grave. That means I go, okay, I believe you. Well, not necessarily. Some of us will go that far, those lengths. I mean, well, no one in this room. But people will go these kinds of lengths to influence a response and to influence something favorable for them. The God of our Father says, when you keep it Jesus, that's why I knew what God meant by keeping it Jesus. God, the God of our Father says that when you keep it Jesus, you are compelled to tell the absolute truth of a matter. Amen. When you keep it Jesus, you can't curve the truth because Jesus didn't. Let me repeat that. When you keep it Jesus, you can't curve the truth anymore because Christ didn't do it. Amen. When you keep it Jesus, you create an atmosphere that's exact. When you keep it Jesus, the heart and the ears of the hearer become more sensitive to what you're saying. When we keep it Jesus, that's when we can back it up with God's word. Amen. When you keep it real, what you got to back that up with? Or like they, when the world, I can't use the words, but in the world they say, let's not go there. Okay, so... You know, having the moxie and the, all the, oh, I hate that stuff. Okay. When you keep it Jesus, the heart and the ears of the hearer become more sensitive, right, to what you're saying. Okay. So when we say let's keep it Jesus, we're incorporating the Spirit of God in the matter. What a blessing it is when we keep it Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, because now you're incorporating all the triune of God. Amen. When you keep it Jesus, you really represent, you're representing Christ in an awesome way. Amen. Amen. Nothing can come behind it. When you keep it Jesus, there's nothing said behind it. When you keep it Jesus, nothing can come behind it. When you keep it Jesus, when we tell someone, I'm just keeping it Jesus, there's a chance that what you told them can change their lives. Keeping it real, hasn't really, you know anybody who said, yeah, they kept it real with me and it changed my life. But now when you tell people, hey, let's keep it Jesus. Tell me what's going on. Because there's nothing you can tell me that will make me frown on your situation or judge you. Let's just keep it Jesus. Tell the whole truth. Get that thing out. Let's shame the devil. Amen. Let's start your witness, amen. Let's start your road on being recommitted to God, amen. Because the name of Jesus, when you keep it Jesus, it changes lives. Because why? The name of Jesus saves lives, amen. When we say let's keep it Jesus, we chase the devil away. And his lies can't affect what's being said, amen. He can't touch it no more, amen, when you keep it Jesus, amen. Believe it or not, when God dropped on my spirit, tell the people to keep it Jesus, the people he was talking about was everybody. Christians and non-Christians alike. Now, keeping it Jesus is ministry. There's no ministry in keeping it real, amen. And we can still use it. I might still use it. Still use keep it real. But when you really want the integrity of what you're saying based on truths and based on something you can go to this living word and back it up, that's when you say, let's just keep it Jesus. Amen. That means that all shame is gone. Why? Because Christ took the shame, didn't he? So all shame is gone about what you're about to keep it Jesus with me about and what I'm going to keep it Jesus with you about. Amen. Are we getting this? So when we tell the world or they tell us, it's, you know, to keep it Jesus, it's ministry outside of the church, if you will. Sometimes people need to open up to you, and it might not just be when you're in church. You understand what I'm saying? It might not just be you being super spiritual at that time. You might have to just keep it Jesus. You're still keeping it Jesus. You're still basing everything on love. You're still basing everything on genuine love. You're basing everything on the Spirit of God speaking in this situation. You incorporate the Spirit of Christ. If that person maybe is oblivious to it, you understand what I'm saying? Keep it Jesus. God doesn't want us to have some nonchalant church-going experience. He wants an honest, involved relationship between us and the church. It takes willingness on our part so that we will be doers of his word. In order for this to materialize, this active relationship with God and the church would have to be all of us keeping it Jesus. Let me repeat that. It takes willingness on our part so that we will be doers of his word. In order for this to materialize, this active relationship with God and the church, we would have to keep it Jesus. Amen. For a real relationship. You want a real relationship with God? Be totally honest with God. And look, let me tell you something. I know I'm not saying nothing so profound or whatever, but God already knows what you're doing anyway. Amen. And here's a real eye opener. God knew it 20,000 years ago what you was gonna do today. Amen. He know my thoughts even right now. Amen. But we won't go there. Amen. I'm just kidding. That's right. Hey, keep it Jesus, right? Amen. 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 We have to keep it Jesus with not only God himself, but also with fellow saints in society. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And it says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. This is just an awesome way that we are assessed by the holy God when he deems the perfect time for us to keep it Jesus. God gave us his word to live by. If your conduct and the way that you go about things isn't indicative of all the Bible reading that you say that you've been doing, then you're not keeping it Jesus. Amen. It's one thing to tell people I go to church every Sunday, I don't miss my Bible class on Thursdays. It's another thing, we have family Bible study at home. We have God who's a Bible study in our home and all those kinds of things. That's one thing. But it's another thing when I'm not living that way. Do you hear what I'm saying? So I'm not keeping it Jesus. Amen. I wasn't keeping it Jesus for a long time. I was a church goer. You know, I wore a tie, but I think that I was what they used to call a dressed up fool. Amen. But glory be to Jesus that he didn't give up on me. He didn't give up on you. Amen. For a believer, keeping to Jesus is simply for a believer, it's simply doing what God would have you to do. That's keeping it Jesus. God says that if you keep it Jesus, his favor would encamp around you and your household, and blessings will follow. Amen. That's something to shout about. Amen. Amen. Hey, the favor of God on my household. And guess what? I may be a blessing on the way. Amen. Maybe. But keeping it Jesus is a blessing in itself. Amen. Living a life of integrity, hallelujah, is a blessing in itself, amen. Yes, amen.
being honest with God is a blessing. It's a blessing. You don't, he knows your pain. Amen. You know, you know sometimes you say, she just don't understand, but God does. Amen. And then he'll speak his, then he'll keep it Jesus with you. Well, she don't understand because you're not making sense, Alwan. Amen. You know, whatever. God will keep it Jesus with you. And that is a blessing for God to make changes in our character. Amen. That's a blessing for God to make changes in our speech. Amen. That is a blessing. Correction is a blessing. Rebuke from God is a blessing. Proverbs say, don't reject the rebuke of God. Keeping it Jesus is also being very aware of the repercussions we face when we didn't keep it Jesus. Being very aware of the troubles that we, you know, inflicted upon ourselves. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 16. We're going to look at verses 16 through 19. Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19. Moreover, 16 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, 17, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. 18, therefore I pour out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for their idols with which they had defiled it. 19, so I scattered them among the nations and they were dispensed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. Let's just keep it Jesus here, amen. Some of the adversity and afflictions that we endure, we are not oblivious to why and how it came about. I have to keep it Jesus. I know how I have come upon certain judgment and outcomes. I can ask God at some point, why? And God just looks at me and says, really? You know why. And I didn't know at that time he really was saying he loved me. So sometimes when you're doing things that's not godly, God doesn't maybe go in these places with you, go around in these areas with you or whatever, but he's keeping you alive for a reason, because he loves you. I think Pastor has alluded to earlier about, how marriages and things are struggle, how they struggle. But, you know, if two people say they gave their lives to Christ, you're never out of it. You're never going to be forgotten. You're never going to be ignored. Because now, once you accept Christ, you're in the sheepfold, and there's nothing you can do about it, amen? You can run, but you can't hide. Amen. I love this line in this song, one of my favorite gospel songs. And it says that, you know, I ran away from you and I tried to hide from you, but there's no place that far. There's no place that far that you didn't reach. Amen. There's no place that far that your grace didn't touch me. Amen. Once you give your life to Christ, all things are possible. Amen. Amen. Some of us are still paying for a lapse in judgment we made years ago. But that's the love of God, who allows us to endure the hardship that comes with bad decision making and rebellion to what is right. If you didn't get a whooping for the bad stuff you did, then you need to be in more prayer. Amen.
and ask God, why are you not paying attention to me? Amen. Because you know that he chastens those that he loves. And we get upset. Why I got to keep going through? I made a mistake. That's okay, son. My son is working perfection through you. So when perfect is working through imperfection, there's some pain. Amen. When perfection is working through imperfection, there's a little misunderstanding. Amen. There's a little questioning. But perfection is going to prevail. Amen. Amen. Every time. Good is going to prevail over evil every time. We can think of some accounts today, and we already know what the end is going to look like. Amen. Good is going to prevail. The people of God are going to prevail over those that, or as opposed to those that oppose the things of God. What God told, but that's the love of God who allows us to endure the hardship that comes with bad decision-making and rebellion to what is right. So that's to ensure that we mature from it and to never visit that dark area that our flesh took us to. Again, never to visit it. What God told the prophet Ezekiel to tell the people of Israel is not how he always does it. But because he is such a just God, he let them know that I'm going to deal with you and that sin according to what you wanted to do. So sometimes God, he may forewarn you through the prophet about what your actions are going to amount to. COVID-19, I think God had already told us about that. Pestilence, we're going to deal with pestilence. We're going to deal with some famine. That's a spiritual. COVID-19 caused some people to run away from God even further, but it brought some people to God. Some people are still in spiritual famine right now. God said that was going to happen, amen. God said there was going to be plagues, didn't he? I'm just saying. But because God is such a just God, he let them know that he was going to deal with them and that sin according to what they, you know, wanted to do, according to what you thought or what they thought was fun and entertaining, according to your religious actions. God deals with us, we don't, according, you know, some of his reprimand is based on some of your religious actions. Playing church. Fooling everybody, but not everybody. Being a dressed up fool. These kinds of things, but thank God I'm not anymore. Thank you, Lord. According to your religious action. And when we don't keep it, Jesus, God is not pleased. When we don't keep it, Jesus, our lives and our behavior, it don't please God at all, and our lives and our behavior should please God and bring him glory. Our lives and our actions should please God and bring him glory. How can we do this? How can we do this? I picked out three, okay? How can we do this? We're closing. We're about to close. Praise the Lord. How can we have an honest relationship with God and keep it Jesus? First, do what God says in Ezekiel 36, verse 31 and 32. This is what God wants you to do. After he kind of reprimands you, this is what he did with Israel in some scriptures, prior scriptures, in chapter 36. Read chapter 36. It's awesome, of Ezekiel. He said, then you will remember your evil ways. See, when I put before you your sin, and I chasten you for that, and I give you a little spanking for that, then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight. You'll be mad at yourself. If you do things wrong and you're not mad at yourself, oh boy, you need to be a little hurt. You need to have some remorse, amen. I'm just talking from experience, amen. for your iniquities, and you should, you know, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. 32. Not for your sakes do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thank you, Vivian. He's not doing this for your sake, as he talked about in chapter 36, an awesome chapter. He said, I'm doing it for my name's sake. We are epistles of God, amen? So everybody's watching your behavior, amen, on your job, and your children are watching you, your grandchildren are watching you. And if you say, well, I'm a Christian, and I attend church services, I do everything, I pay my tithes, I do all these things. When you kind of slide off a little bit, God has to put us back on track, amen? And what by any means necessary, amen. I know some of us ain't gonna like that phrase when we leave here. By any means necessary, amen. Yes, by any means necessary. God's gonna do what he gotta do to keep us on that narrow, righteous road until we see Christ, amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
And we thank God for that. That's right. Thank you, Sister Karen. You need to understand and you need to know that a lot of things that you did and are doing are wrong, even though no one is saying anything to you about it until today. Now, here's the second thing you do. The first thing you got to do is kind of like, you know, be honest with God. Start this up with God. First thing you got to do. Second thing you have to do is let the Holy Ghost of God give you an examination. As in Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Amen. You know, there's been a lot of times in my life that I've done things that I actually thought I was getting away with it. But it's being stored up kind of in the bank of in heaven saying, look, this is some stuff, man. Let's get it together. Be for real with God. Keep it Jesus, Alwan. Keep it Jesus. Let's get a real relationship going. Amen. Thirdly, give yourself an examination. Now, we did communion today. Amen. Now, look at these scriptures. Go to 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. The chapter 11 of Corinthians, it actually talks about communion. You know, wow. God confirming himself again. Amen. I guess we've seen this before. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Thank you, Vivian. Even though Paul was addressing how to take communion to the church at Corinth, it still speaks to examining ourselves overall. Amen. It still speaks about examining ourselves, looking at ourselves in the mirror, really. Dipstick check, Michael Jackson, the man in the mirror, right? Well, okay. Michael Jackson, okay, there we go. I thought y'all might recognize that move. Whenever we can't seem to stay on track, after it seems like we know what we're doing, we can find ourselves backsliding or not keeping to Jesus. Listen, we've done some good things in life. They weren't all bad. But there were times when we thought we were doing good things. Ask the Islamic religion. They think they're doing good things, but it's terrible. Amen. They think they're doing something for God, but that's not godly. Whatever they're doing, I don't know what God they're serving, but that's not the God we serve. Amen. The God we serve is compassionate, amen. The God we serve loves people, amen. The God we serve don't murder people, amen. What God are they talking about? And that's not a judgmental statement, sorry. I just get a little keyed up with that, amen. I get a little excited when I think about the goodness of God. Israel was good at bringing judgment on themselves. I think we agree with that, right? They were good at bringing judgment on themselves, and they were the chosen of God. How is that? I think we should just do the fourth thing that I came up with, and that is to trust God. The fourth thing is to keep it Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
To keep it Jesus can only bring the fruits of Christ into our home, into our lives, and into our church. To keep it Jesus can only bring the fruits of Christ into our home, into our lives, and into our church. Thank you all so much. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.